Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this afternoon. First of all, we want to say thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. When I look back over my life and I see where you have brought me from, Lord, I know that I've been blessed. And I can say that I pray each and every day. We are to fail not to pray. And we're supposed to pray one for another. Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing me to stand this morning in the presence of your people. I ask you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to move Nate Allen out of the way, Heavenly Father, and let your Holy Spirit reign and rule throughout this building this morning. Heavenly Father, we know that you are great, and we thank you for being who you are. Lord, we thank you for my pastor and his family. I thank you for my family, my wife and grandson is here. Heavenly Father, and I thank you for each and every one of my father's sisters and brothers here. I thank you because if it was not for him, who knows where we would be. Lord, again, I thank you, and I just continue to pray for your strength and your direction. Lord, these and all blessings I ask in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. From the scripture that was read this morning, we want to take as a text, and it's in your program, that everything will be all right. I started was reading a paper, doing a study, and it was telling me that a lot of things, 40% of the things that we worry about don't ever happen. And it also would tell us that 30% of the things that we worry about has already happened and we can't do anything about them. Then you go a little further, it said 12% of the things that you worry about is about your health. And we all can do something about that. Start living better, eating better. Then it goes and tell you that 10% of the things that you worry about are those small, insignificant things. Where really, it doesn't really matter. But the bottom line, it comes up to that's 92% of the things that we worry about, we have no need to worry about. And that 8% that's left, those things it said that in this article that would drive a person out of their mind. But in the scripture that was read this morning, we have Jesus is teaching his disciples and against those things, against worrying. And it says there is scarcely any one sin against which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have more largely and earnestly warned his disciples against than the sin of disquieting, distracting, and distrustful sins about the cares of this world. The council meets one of the most valuable needs of men, and that is the need to be delivered from worry and from anxiety. It is a command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we take no thought about the things of this world. He says it as our lawgiver, as a sovereign of our heart, and as a comforter as a helper of our joy. Now, those of us that are believers are not to worry about necessities. We are not to worry about food and drink, nor about the bodies and clothing that we wear. So do not be anxious. Do not be overly concerned and caring. Now, Jesus, let's not get it twisted. Jesus is not talking or suggesting that a man not prepare for life. He's not saying that a man to be lazy or to be shiftless and thoughtless with no cares or with a no-care attitude. That is not what he's saying. We need to realize that God will not pamper those of us that may have a slothfulness in nature. those that may have a lack of initiative, those that show a no effort or planning for his or her life. We must look after our responsibilities. In fact, if we go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 28, it tells us, it says, let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 tells us this, says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he said it is more blessing to give than it is to receive. We can look around us and see all the injustice and all kinds of trouble coming to other people. We can also see troubles that's happening in our lives, and we may wonder why. There may be somebody here that's at this point this morning wondering why all the problems that you're having is happening in your life. But there's one thing I want to tell you to be assured of, that everything will be all right. Now, no matter how it may look to you right now, just hold on. Somewhere we find in Scripture where it tells us the race is not given to the swift, but to those that endure until the end. So have you ever been through a test or through some sort of fate that seemed like there was no end to it? Even though it had been difficult and it had been rough, you didn't quit. You didn't panic and you didn't hang up on. You hung in there until the end. Now, even though you felt like total torment had been unleashed on your life, you hung in there. Now, I got a question for you. Why is it that some people can go through a storm and come out on the other side stronger? On the other side stronger than the ones that didn't. While you have others that seem to get shipwrecked or lost at sea. The most obvious answer to this question to me is that people began to exercise their faith, and they began to look a little higher and see that there's something else much greater than the problems that you're in. You see, they don't become fixated on the alarming things that's on the horizon. But instead, they look a little higher and they see a God who has a whole world in his hand, and he's more than sufficient to supply all of our needs. They do not walk by sight, but they walk by faith. And when you walk by faith, you see everything have a tendency to change. If you believe that all there is to life is what you are experiencing at this moment, then when the first storm come along in your life, you're going to falter. But if you believe that there is victory ahead, you can press on past the problems that you see by sight and endure to the victory that you see by faith. You see, faith has a tendency to change things. Faith will overcome fears. Faith presses past the disappointments. Faith sees more than the problem. It sees the possibilities. Faith will change a crisis into a challenge, and it will embrace it and overcome it. Now, I'm not saying that faith is a denial of reality, but faith is not a denial of reality, because there may be someone here today that the doctors may have said that you have an incurable disease. There may be someone here today that your husband or your wife may have walked out on you. There may be somebody here today that you may have lost your job. Faith does not deny reality, but faith faces reality head on and sees beyond the moment. Faith sees the hand of God working all things together for our good. When we are living by faith and not by sight, when we are walking in the spirit and not in the flesh, when we know in our heart that our life is in God's hand, when then, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our situations, we can still lift up our voices and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I know in my heart that everything will be all right. Lord, I thank you because I know everything will be all right. And I want you to just look at somebody this morning, this afternoon, and tell them no matter what the situation may be, if you look to Jesus, no matter what it is, everything will be all right. We find in verse 25, verse 31 and 34, what Jesus told his disciples, he said to take no thought. Now, in the Greek, they say, be not in care. And the Greek term for that is me merimnete, which meaning to have a divided mind. It is the repeated command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to his disciples that they should not divide and pull in pieces their own minds with care about this world. You see, a divided mind is when one side of your mind tells you everything will be all right. And you have the other side that's saying maybe it won't. Whether you are a worrier or not, this passage applies to each and every one of us. Jesus said, don't worry, but that everything will be all right. Now, if you go and read not just chapter 6, but if you go back to chapter 5, 6, and 7, read them together. Jesus is teaching us the values of the kingdom of heaven. These teachings are very simple, but they are so opposite of our fallen nature that when we try to live the words ourselves on our own, we'll struggle. But you see, as a Christian, we should not try to face life on our own. Jesus said in his word, he said, lo, I am with you until the end of the age. I believe that Jesus wants us to face life with him, not on our own. He wants to pour out his kingdom upon us, and he wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. Jesus wants us to take and reshape our lives according to the ways of heaven. He said, don't worry, but sometime in the flesh we do just that. Now, we define worry as a thin dribble of fear that runs through our minds. And if this is fear is left unchecked, it will cut a narrow valley so deep and so wide that all of your other thoughts will fall into it. You may say that worry is the opposite of faith. We find in Ephesians 2 and 8, Paul said that, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The word tell us, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and trust and rust consume, and where thieves can break in and steal at night. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Now, if you examine the things that you worry about, you will get a pretty good idea of the things that you value. When we inordinately value the things of the world, they can drive us, they can consume us, and become the major controller in our lives. But do you remember what Jesus said? He said that no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. This chapter comes down to a simple but profound question. Can we trust God with our worries and our fears? Jesus tells us that we are to consider the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor do they reap, or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father provides for them. Now, Jesus is not speaking against farmers that sow seed, or reap and harvest, or store away in barn, but he is speaking against the tendency that we have to worry about those things. Now, if God takes care of the birds of the air, don't you think he will take care of you? Is Jesus saying that he wants us to be like the bird that flies around in the air, having no job, and just sitting around letting God take care of us? That is not what he's saying. Let's not people get it twisted. Because there is a scripture that tells me that if a man don't work, he don't eat. And I'm a believer in the scripture of God. I believe that birds, to myself, they work hard. They feed their children, they protect their children, and they teach them how to fly. You see, birds are very responsible and hardworking creatures. What they don't do is what we do, and that's worry about things that we don't need to worry about. I want to tell you a story, a children's story that talks about the three birds. And it reminds me that when there were three birds that was in a nest and they lived happy. But one day, the mother bird, she came to the first one, and she nudged him out of the nest onto the branch. And then she nudged him again, and he let go and spread his wings, and he flew. And then she came to the second bird. She nudged him out of the nest and on to the branch. And she nudged him again, and then he spread his wings and he flew. The mother bird, she came up to the third bird. And the mother bird nudged him out of the nest and on to the branch. But this bird, the little bird knew what was coming next. So what did he do? He began to worry. When nudged, the third bird did not fall off of the branch. Instead, it fell over the branch. It was holding on for dear life and ended up swinging upside down. And the point of the story is that there is more to life that God wants to offer us. He wants us to live the life that he's intended for us to live. The life that he created for us. He will lift us up on wings of eagles. He wants us to soar with the Holy Spirit. Yes, he does. But when we cling to our old lives, when we hold on to the life we have, we will end up with an upside down perspective and values that are more aligned with the world than it is with heaven. See, Jesus, he said, consider the birds of the air. They are fed without any care or projects of their own. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather in barns. They make no provisions for the future themselves. And yet, every day, as the day comes, provisions is made for them by our Heavenly Father. If God takes care of the birds, don't you think he will take care of you? He said, consider the lilies of the field. Jesus said, look at the wildflowers. They do not wear fancy clothes. Yet Solomon, in all of his glory, is not as beautiful as the wildflower. Jesus is not against us wearing clothes, but he's not worried about the clothes that we wear, but he is teaching us that we don't need to be worried about those things. If God would dress the grass of the fields, don't you think he will take care of you? Finally, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, church. Now, if there was anything that I was going to worry about, I would worry about my family. I would worry about the future of the church. I would worry about the future of the economy and the future of our country and this world. But once I start reading this verse in this chapter, Jesus said in his words, don't worry. And that is in red. And that tells me if Jesus said it, and since he said it, I believe it. Don't worry. You see, we have a tendency to worry about what people say about you. We have a tendency to worry how they perceive you. But don't you know God created them just as he did you? He loves you just as much as he loved them. So don't worry about those things. The Bible tells us what we need to do is to seek ye the kingdom of heaven. We cannot be worried about those things of the world. Now, when our mind and our heart and our soul is not divided, but when it's focused on Jesus Christ, when he's the master, good God Almighty of our lives, when we belong to him, Jesus tell us, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be added unto you. Let me go back to the story of the bird. I don't want to leave him hanging there upside down. When the mama bird, she saw the little bird hanging upside down, what did she do? She went and went out, good God Almighty, on the branch. She began to peck at his feet. Lord have mercy. You may think that that is cruel, but good God Almighty, that's what she did. And when God, sometime when we're struggling, and God, I believe, that is pecking, good God Almighty, at your heart. Good God, He wants you to let go of your life and look to Jesus Christ. So don't worry about those things that He said. Do be not concerned about food, not water, not clothes, but look ye first, good God Almighty, for the Bible tell us that the pagans, you see, they run after these things. Oh my God, the world spends all of their energies, good God Almighty, running after material things. Yes, they do. You see, we as Christians, we can become so easily, good God Almighty, find ourselves acting like the world. When we start looking after those things and being concerned with what tomorrow is going to bring, you get out of church this afternoon, and before you get to the door, what am I going to do tomorrow? Church, it doesn't matter, because tomorrow is in God's hand. Tell me how much of a cubic you're going to add to your statue, how many years you're going to add to your life, how, by worrying, is that going to help you? But one thing for sure, you can shorten your life by worrying about things that's very immaterial. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all of its righteousness. Good God Almighty, the remedy, I've already said, is not take two aspirins and call the doctor in the morning, but the remedy is to seek ye first, good God Almighty, the kingdom of heaven. Yes, indeed, we must put God first. Yes, indeed, good God Almighty. Oh, my Lord, God knows everything that we need. He knows He created us, and He knows all about us. And if you go back and you go to the beginning of the book in Genesis, He created all everything before He created man. And what does that tell you? God knew what we needed, so He put it there in place. All we had to do was accept it and be thankful. But sometimes, even today, what we do, we say, see somebody, good God Almighty, they driving around in a brand new car, but that's all right. And we have a tendency, I'm going to church, I'm doing everything that God would have me to do. But think back on our Sunday school lesson, it doesn't matter what they are driving, you continue to look toward heaven and know that He's the giver of all perfect gifts. Jesus is the light of the world. And one more, good God Almighty, one more reality that I don't want to forget, and that that Jesus died on an old rugged cross, and he did it for me, and he did it for you. But beyond that cross, what did he see? He saw the victory. There was an empty tomb, and to this day, my Lord and Savior, he lives. So he lives to save you. Good God Almighty. So if you don't believe, or you don't want to give up your fears, you want to hold on, I feel sorry for you. But please, ma'am and please, sir, let Jesus be your guide. Give everything over to him, and everything I know will be all right. I can tell you several stories, but good God Almighty, I know what God can do. And you see, when you get down and when you actually give everything to Jesus Christ, you would have somebody that would be like that mother bird. She peck, they will peck at you to see whether you're going to change. But good God, stand firm and hold on to God's unchanging hand. Good God Almighty, my Lord. The Bible says in verse 34, therefore, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So what are you saying? My Lord, we are to live one day at a time. We are not to be preoccupied with tomorrow and its troubles or its affairs. Don't live having faith one moment, and the next moment you begin to worry. Where Jesus has said, be not concerned with the affairs of tomorrow. He said, don't worry, because God will take care of you. And those that are believers have a heavenly Father that knows our every need. Therefore, we must seek first the kingdom of God. I know I've said it several times, so there must be somebody here that needs to start seeking after Jesus. Forget about your friends. And I don't mean it literally, but until you get to where God would have you, until you get stronger, leave them alone and be seeking after Jesus, who's the maker of your soul. The Bible tells us that he shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. We must start to exercise our faith. Good God Almighty, we must exercise our faith and do not be fixated on the alarming things that's on the horizon. Look high, look higher to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. I believe it was Isaiah said, here I am. send me, Lord, here I am, good God Almighty, here I am, Lord have mercy. Good God Almighty. The Bible tells us that we need to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And then one thing that I read and I liked about that, it said back in Ephesians 4:28. It said, one, a man that stole, steal no more. But go back and read the whole thing. I don't have time to do all of that. But there's a lot of things in there. And if you don't just stop there, just read. Go to the book of Acts. And you go to the book of Luke, chapter 3, verse 11. It tells you the same thing, that we are to share. We are to work extra to give to those that are in need. We are not to be hoarders of nothing. Because God blessed us, we need to bless somebody else. Amen. God bless you and God keep you.